She went into the break room to get some coffee.
Hey, Persephone,
Adonis said as he joined her. He put on his most charming smile, as if it could erase the past and build a whole new future. She glanced at him. I don't really feel like talking to you. She didn't need to look at him to know he'd stopped grinning. He was probably shocked his smile hadn't worked its usual magic.
You're really just gonna stop talking to me? You know that's impossible. We work together.
I'll still be professional, she said.
You aren't being very professional right now.
Actually, I don't have to make small talk with you to be professional. I just have to get my job done.
Or you could forgive me,
Adonis said.
I was drunk, and I barely touched you.
Barely touched? He had pulled her hair and attempted to force her mouth open. Besides that, his touch, no matter how light or aggressive, was completely unwanted. Persephone ignored him, leaving the break room. He followed.
Is this about Hades?
He demanded.
Are you sleeping with him?
That is not an appropriate question, Adonis, and it's also none of your business.
He told you to stay away from me, didn't he?
Persephone turned to face him. She'd never met anyone who was so oblivious to their own wrongdoing. I am capable of making my own decisions. I thought you would remember that after you stole my article, she snapped. But just so we're clear, I don't want to talk to you because you are a manipulator, you never take responsibility for your mistakes, and you kissed me when I specifically told you not to, which makes you a predator. There was a heavy pause as Persephone's words hit home. It took Adonis a moment, but he finally seemed to understand what she was saying. His nostrils flared, and he clenched his fists, knuckles turning white.
You bitch! Adonis!
Dimitri's voice cut through their conversation like a whip. Stunned, Persephone turned to see her boss standing outside his office. She had never thought him capable of the anger she saw on his face.
A moment.
Adonis looked stricken, and he glared at Persephone as if she were to blame. When the mortal disappeared into Dimitri's office, her boss gave her an apologetic look before following him in and closing the door. 10 minutes later, a security officer arrived on the floor and walked into Dimitri's office. After a moment, the officer, Dimitri, and Adonis emerged. Adonis was flanked by the two. And as he passed Persephone's desk, he was rigid, his hands fisted. He muttered under his breath,
This is ridiculous. She's a snitch. You told on yourself, Dimitri said.
They disappeared in the direction of his desk and reappeared, leading Adonis to the elevator with a box in his hands. When Dimitri returned, he approached Persephone's desk.
You have a moment?
Yeah. She said quietly, and followed him into his office. Once inside, she took a seat, and Dimitri did the same.
Want to tell me what happened?
She explained, only the part where Adonis stole her article and submitted it without her knowledge, because that was the only part that really counted at work.
Why didn't you tell me?
Persephone shrugged. I wanted to submit it anyway. It just happened faster than I anticipated. Dimitri grimaced.
In the future, I want you to come to me when you feel wronged, Persephone. Your satisfaction in this job is important to me.
I appreciate that.
And I will understand if you want to cease writing articles about Hades.
She stared at him. You would? But why?
I won't pretend that I'm not aware of the frustration and stress it has caused you, he said.
And she had to admit she was a little surprised he'd noticed.
You became famous overnight, and you're not even finished with college yet.
She let her eyes fall to her hands, twisting her fingers nervously. But what about the readership? Dimitri shrugged.
That's the thing about news. There's always something new.
Persephone managed a small laugh and considered things. If she stopped writing now, she didn't feel she would have done Hades' story justice. She'd started out with such a harsh critique of him, and maybe selfishly, she wanted to explore other facets of his character. She realized she didn't have to write an article to do that, but a part of her wanted to show Hades in the light. She wanted others to see him as she had come to, as kind and caring. "No," she said, "it's okay. I want to continue with the series, for now."
Dimitri smiled. "All right, but if you wish to end it, I want you to let me know."
She agreed and went back to her desk, unable to focus on her tasks. She still felt a little shaky from her encounter with Adonis. In truth, she'd hoped it wouldn't come to this, but after today, she knew it was the right decision. She didn't think she would forget the look on his face. She'd saw and felt his rage. After work, she headed to campus. During class, she found it harder to concentrate. Her sleepless night was catching up to her, and though she took notes at the end of class when she tried to read what she had written, it was just scribbles. She really needed some rest. A tap on the shoulder made her jump. She turned and looked into the face of a girl with small, fairy-like features and a dust of pretty freckles. Her eyes were large and round. "You're Persephone Rossi, right?" She was getting used to that question and learning to dread it. "I am," she said hesitantly. "Can I help you?" The girl picked up a magazine that rested on top of the books she cradled against her chest. It was the Delphi Divine, its cover a picture of Hades this time. Persephone was shocked. Hades had actually allowed himself to be photographed. The headline read, "God of the Underworld credits journalist for the Halcyon Project." Persephone took it, flipping to the full spread, and started reading, rolling her eyes. Probably the worst part, aside from the article suggesting that the reason for the project was because Hades had fallen for the beautiful blonde mortal, was that they'd sourced a picture of her. It was the headshot they'd taken for her internship at New Athens News.
"Is it true?" the girl asked. "Are you really dating Lord Hades?"
Persephone looked at her and stood, shouldering her backpack. She didn't think there was a word to describe what was happening between her and the god of the dead. Hades had called her his lover, but Persephone would still describe herself as a prisoner, and that would be the case until the contract was removed. Instead of answering the girl, she asked, "You do know the Divine is a gossip magazine?"
"Yes, but he created the Halcyon Project just for you."
"It isn't for me," she pushed past the girl. "It's for mortals in need."
"Still, don't you think that's romantic?"
Persephone paused and turned to face the girl. He listened. "There's nothing romantic about that." The girl blinked, confused. Persephone explained, "I'm not interested in romanticizing Hades for doing something all men should be doing."
"So you don't think he likes you?" she asked.
"I'd much rather he respect me," she answered. "Respect could build an empire. Trust could make it unbreakable. Love could make it last forever." And she would know Hades respected her when he removed this stupid mark on her skin. "Excuse me," she said, and left. It was close to lunch, and she had that date with Lexa and Sybil. Persephone left Hestia Hall and crossed campus, cutting through the Garden of the Gods, following the familiar stone path, passing Apollo's marble statue, when the scent of Hades' magic hit her. It was the only warning she had before she was teleported. She appeared in a different part of the garden, where Narcissus bloomed, standing face to face with Hades. He reached forward, gripped the back of her neck, and brought his lips to hers. She kissed him eagerly, but she was distracted by the article and her thoughts around the contract. When he pulled away, he stared at her a moment, then asked,
"Are you well?"
Her stomach flipped. She wasn't used to that question, or the way he asked it, in a voice echoing with sincerity and concern. "Yes," she answered breathlessly. "Tell him. Ask him about the contract," she commanded herself. "Demand he free you if he wants to be with you." Instead, she asked, "What are you doing here?" The corners of his mouth turned up, and he brushed his thumb over the bottom of her lip.
I came to say goodbye.
What? The question came out more demanding than she wanted. What did he mean he was saying goodbye? He chuckled under his breath.
I must go to Olympia for counsel.
Counsel for the gods occurred quarterly unless there was a war. If Hades was going, that meant Demeter would be going too. Oh. She lowered her head, disappointed. How long? He shrugged.
If I have anything to say about it, a day and no more.
Why wouldn't you have a say?
It depends on how much Zeus and Poseidon argue.
She wanted to laugh, but after seeing them at the gala, she got the feeling their arguing wasn't cute, but brutal. Even worse than Zeus or Poseidon, Persephone wondered how her mother would treat the god of the dead. She shivered and tried to meet Hades' gaze, but his eyes had fallen to the magazine. He plucked it from the top of her things and frowned, then frowned deeper after she asked, Is this why you announced the Halcyon project at the gala? So people would focus on something other than my assessment of your character?
You think I created the Halcyon project for my reputation?
She shrugged. You didn't want me to continue writing about you. You said so yesterday. He stared at her for a moment, clearly frustrated.
I didn't start the Halcyon project in hopes that the world would admire me. I started it because of you.
Why?
Because I saw truth in what you said. Is that really so hard to believe?
She couldn't really answer, and Hades' brows drew together tightly.
My absence will not affect your ability to enter the underworld. You may come and go as you please.
She didn't like how distant he suddenly felt, and he wasn't even gone yet. She stepped closer to him and tilted her head back so she could look into his eyes. Before you go, I was thinking, she said, and reached for the lapels of his jacket. I'd like to throw a party in the underworld, for the souls. Hades' hands closed over her wrists. His eyes were searching, and she wasn't sure if he would push her away or pull her closer.
What kind of party?
Thanatos tells me souls will reincarnate at the end of the week, and that Asphodel is already planning a celebration. I think we should move it to the palace.
We?
Persephone bit her lip and blushed. I'm asking you if I can plan a party in the underworld. He just stared at her, so she went on. Hecate has already agreed to help. His brows rose.
Has she?
Yes. Her eyes fell to where her palms now rested, flat on his chest. She's thinking we should have a ball. He was quiet so long she thought he must be angry, so she looked up to meet his gaze.
Are you trying to seduce me so I'll agree to your ball? He asked.
Is it working? He chuckled and drew her closer. His arousal was hard against her stomach, and she gasped. It was the only answer she required. And still, he said against her ear,
It's working.
He kissed her thoroughly and released her.
Plan your ball, Lady Persephone.
Come home soon, Lord Hades. He smiled wickedly before vanishing. She realized in that moment she was afraid to say anything about the contract because that might mean disappointment. It might mean the realization that this would never work. And that would break her. Persephone met Lexa and Sybil for lunch at the Golden Apple. Luckily, with Sybil present, Lexa didn't ask any questions about the kiss, though it was possible Sybil already knew the details. The girls talked about finals, graduation, the gala, and Apollo. It all started because Lexa asked Sybil,
So, are you and Apollo
dating? No, Sybil said. But I think he hopes I will agree to be his lover. Persephone and Lexa exchanged a look.
Wait, Lexa said. He asked? Like, for permission?
Sybil smirked, and Persephone admired how the Oracle could talk about this so easily. He did, and I told him no.
You told Apollo, the god of the sun, perfection incarnate, no?
Lexa looked slightly appalled.
Why?
Lexa, you can't ask that, Persephone chided. Sybil just smiled and said, Apollo will not love one person, and I do not wish to share.
Persephone understood why Sybil wouldn't want to get involved with the god.
Apollo had a long list of lovers that spanned divine, semi-divine, and mortal. And as the god of light's list had proven, he never stayed with one person too long.
Conversation lapsed into making plans for the weekend. And once they had decided where they would meet for drinks and dancing, Persephone left for the underworld. She watered her garden and went to find Hecate in her cottage. It was a small home, nestled in a dark meadow. And while it was charming, there was something foreboding about it. Perhaps it was because of the coloring. The siding was dark gray, the door a dark purple, and ivy crawled up the house, covering the windows and roof. Inside, it was like she had stepped into a garden filled with night-blooming flowers. Thick purple wisteria hung overhead like clusters of stars in a blackout night, while a carpet of white nicotiana covered the ground. A table, chairs, and bed were crafted of soft black wood that looked as if it had grown into the formation of each piece. Orbs rose into the air, and it took Persephone a moment to recognize what they really were. Lampades. Small and beautiful fairy-like creatures with hair like night, laced with white flowers and silvery skin. Hecate wasn't sitting on the bed or at the table, but on the grassy floor. Her legs were folded under her, and her eyes were closed. A lit black candle flickered in front of her. Hecate? Persephone asked, knocking on the doorframe. But the goddess didn't stir. She stepped further into the room. Hecate? Still no response. It was like she was asleep. Persephone bent and blew out the candle, and Hecate's eyes snapped open. For a moment, she looked positively wicked, her eyes an endless black. And Persephone suddenly understood the kind of goddess Hecate could become if she was pushed, the kind of goddess that turned Gale the Witch into Gale the Polecat. When she recognized Persephone, she smiled.
Welcome back, my lady.
Persephone, she corrected, and Hecate's smile widened.
I'm only trying it out, she said. You know, for when you become mistress of the underworld.
Persephone blushed fiercely. You're getting ahead of yourself, Hecate. The goddess raised a brow, and Persephone rolled her eyes. What were you doing? Persephone asked.
Oh, just cursing a mortal. Hecate replied almost cheerfully,
grabbing the candle and getting to her feet. She put it away and turned to face Persephone.
Watered your garden already, dear?
Yes.
Shall we begin?
She was quick to get down to business, directing Persephone to sit on the floor. Persephone hesitated, but after encouragement from Hecate to see if her touch still took life, she knelt to the ground. When she pressed her hands to the grass, nothing happened. Amazing, Persephone whispered. Hecate spent the next half hour leading her through a meditation that was supposed to help her visualize and use her power.
You must practice calling to your magic, Hecate said.
How do I do that?
Magic is malleable. As you call for it, imagine it as clay. Mold it into what you desire, and then give it life.
Persephone shook her head. You make it sound so easy.
It is easy, Hecate said. All it takes is belief.
Persephone wasn't sure about that, but she tried to do as Hecate instructed. She imagined the life she felt in the wisteria above her as something she could shape, and willed the plants to grow larger and more vibrant. But when she opened her eyes, nothing had changed. Hecate must have noticed her disappointment, because she placed a hand on Persephone's shoulder.
It will take time, but you will master this.
Persephone smiled at the goddess, but wilted on the inside. She had no choice but to master this if she was going to fulfill her contract with Hades, because as much as she liked the king of the underworld, she had no desire to be a prisoner of his realm.
Persephone?
Huh? She blinked, looking at Hecate, who grinned.
Thinking of our king?
She looked away. Everyone knows, don't they?
Well, he did carry you through the palace to his bedroom.
She stared at the grass. She hadn't intended to have this conversation, and though it pained her to speak the words, she said, I'm not sure it should have happened.
Why ever not?
For so many reasons, Hecate. The goddess waited. The contract, for one, Persephone explained. And my mother will never let me out of her sight again if she finds out. Persephone paused. What if she can see it when she looks at me? What if she knows I'm not the virginal goddess she's always wanted? Hecate chuckled.
No god has the power to determine if you are a virgin.
Not a god, but a mother. Hecate frowned.
Do you regret sleeping with Hades? Forget your mother and the contract. Do you regret it?
No, I could never regret him.
My dear, you are at war with yourself. It has created darkness within you.
Darkness?
Anger, fear, resentment, Hecate said. If you do not free yourself first, no one else can.
Persephone knew darkness had always existed within her, and it had deepened over the last few months, rising to the surface when she felt challenged or angry. She thought of how she'd threatened that nymph at the coffee house, how she'd snapped at her mother, how jealous she'd been of Minthy. Her mother might claim that the mortal world had done this to her, grew the darkness into something tangible, but Persephone knew otherwise. It had always been there, a dark seed, fueling her dreams and her passions, and Hades had roused it, charmed it, fed it.
Let me coax the darkness from you. I will help you shape it.
And she had let him.
When did you feel life for the first time?
Hecate asked, curious. After Hades and I... She didn't need to finish her sentence. The goddess of magic tapped her chin.
I think perhaps the god of the dead has created life within you.
Chapter 22, The Ascension Ball. By Friday, Hades had not returned from Olympia, and Persephone was surprised by how anxious that made her. She knew he planned to be at the Ascension Ball this evening, because when she arrived in the underworld to help decorate, Hecate ushered her into another part of the palace to get ready. She greeted Persephone with, Lord Hades has sent your gown. It's beautiful. Persephone had no idea Hades planned on sending her a gown at all. May I see it?
Later, dear, she said, opening a set of gilded doors to a suite unlike the rest of the palace.
Instead of dark floors and walls, they were marble white and inlaid with gold. The bed was luxurious and covered in fluffy blankets, the floors in soft furs. Overhead, a large chandelier dropped from a dome ceiling.
These rooms, who are they for? Persephone asked as she entered, trailing her fingers along the edge of a white vanity.
The mistress of the underworld, Hecate replied.
Persephone let that sink in a little. She knew Hades had created everything in his realm, so adding a suite for a wife must have meant he'd considered having one. She remembered what Hermes had alluded to about the subject at the gala. Did these rooms prove the god had hopes of marrying? But Hades has never had a wife, Persephone hedged.
He has not.
So these rooms have never been occupied?
Not that we are aware. Come, let's get you ready.
Hecate called for her lampades, and they set to work.
Persephone bathed, and while she reclined in the tub, Hecate's nymphs polished her toes and nails. Once she was dry, they rubbed oils into her skin. They smelled of lavender and vanilla, her favorite scents. When she said as much, Hecate smiled. Ah, Lord Hades said you loved them. I don't recall telling Hades my favorite scents. I don't suppose you had to, she said absently. He can smell them. She directed Persephone to the vanity, with a mirror so large she could see the whole wall on the opposite side of the room. The nymphs took time arranging her hair, piling it atop her head. When they finished, pretty ringlets framed her face, and gold clips glistened in her blonde hair. It's beautiful, Persephone told the lampades. I love it. Just wait until you see your gown, Hecate said. The goddess of witchcraft disappeared into the closet and returned with a strip of shimmering gold fabric. Persephone couldn't tell what it looked like until she slipped it on. The fabric was cool against her skin, and when she looked in the mirror, she hardly recognized herself. The gown Hades had chosen for her hung on her body like liquid gold. With a plunging neckline, backless design, and thigh-high split, it was beautiful, daring, and delicate. You are a vision, Hecate said. Persephone smiled. Thank you, Hecate. The goddess of witchcraft left to get ready for tonight's festivities, leaving Persephone alone. This is the closest I have ever looked to a goddess, she said aloud, smoothing her hands over her dress. The sudden feel of Hades' magic, warm and safe and familiar, gave her pause. She braced to teleport, since the last time she had felt it, that's exactly what happened. This time, however, Hades appeared behind her. She met his dark eyes in the mirror and started to turn, but Hades' voice rang out, "Don't move. Let me look at you." His instructions were more of a request than a command, and she swallowed, barely able to handle the heat his presence ignited inside her. He radiated power and darkness, and her body responded, craved the power, hungered for the heat, yearned for the darkness. She burned to touch him, but held his gaze for a breath before he started a slow circle around her. When he finished, he wrapped an arm around her waist, pulling her back against his chest, welding their bodies together. Drop your glamour. She hesitated. In truth, her human glamour was her security, and Hades' command made her want to hold onto it tighter. Why?
Because I wish to see you, he said.
Her grip tightened on the glamour, but Hades coaxed in a voice that made her melt.
Let me see you.
She closed her eyes and released her hold. Her glamour slipped away like water dripping down her skin, and she knew when it was completely gone because she felt both unburdened and raw.
Open your eyes, Hades encouraged,
and when she did, she was in her goddess form. Everything about her presence had intensified, and she glowed against Hades' darkness.
Darling, you are a goddess, Hades said, and pressed his lips to her shoulder.
Persephone wrapped her hand around his neck, pulling him to her. Their lips crashed together, and when Hades growled, Persephone turned in his arms.
I have missed you.
He cupped her face, eyes searching. She wondered what he was looking for. I missed you too. The admission made her blush, and Hades smirked, pulling her in for another kiss. His lips brushed hers once, twice, teasing, before Persephone sealed their lips together. She was ravenous, and he tasted rich and smoky, like the whiskey he drank. Her hands slipped down his chest. She wanted to touch him, feel his skin against her own, but Hades stopped her with his hands on her wrists, breaking their kiss.
I am just as eager, my darling, he said. But if we do not leave now, I think we shall miss your party.
She wanted to pout, but she also knew he was right.
Shall we?
he asked, holding out his hand. When she took it, Hades dropped his glamour. She could watch it all day, the way his magic moved like shadow, peeling off him like smoke, revealing his striking form. His hair fell over his shoulders, and a silver crown made of jagged edges decorated the base of his massive horns. The suit he had been wearing moments ago was replaced by black robes, the edges embroidered in silver.
"Careful, goddess," Hades warned in a low growl, "or we won't leave this room."
She shivered and quickly looked away. Fingers laced, he led her out of the suite and into the hallway to a set of gilded doors. Beyond them, she could hear the low rumble of a large crowd. Her anxiety spiked, probably because she had no glamour to protect her. She realized that was silly. She knew these people, and they knew her. Still, she felt like an imposter goddess, an imposter queen, an imposter lover. Each of those thoughts hurt worse than the other, so she shoved them down deep and entered the ballroom beside Hades. Everything went silent. They stood at the top of a staircase that led to the packed ballroom floor. The room was crowded from wall to wall, and she recognized many of those in attendance, gods and souls and creatures alike. She spotted Euryale, Ilias, and Mekonnen. She smiled at them, her anxiety forgotten, and when they bowed, Hades led her down the stairs. As they made their way through the crowd, Persephone smiled and nodded. And when her eyes fell on Hecate, she broke from Hades to take her hands. "Hecate, you look beautiful." The goddess of witchcraft was luminous. She wore a silver glittering gown that fit her frame and flared out. Her thick, dark hair spilled over her shoulders, and sparkling stars glittered in her long locks.
"You flatter me, my dear," she said as they embraced.
Suddenly, Persephone found herself surrounded by souls. They hugged her and thanked her, told her how amazing the palace looked and how beautiful she was. She didn't know how long she stood there, accepting embraces and talking to the people of the underworld, but it was music that broke up the crowd. Persephone's first dance was with a few children from the underworld. They moved in circles and begged to be lifted and twirled. Persephone obliged, marveling at their joy as they moved about the ballroom. When that dance finished, Charon approached. He was dressed all in white, his usual color, except the edges of his robes were embroidered with azure thread. He bowed, one hand covering his heart.
"My lady, may I have the next dance?"
She smiled and took his hand. "Of course." Persephone joined a line dance, weaving through the souls. The tempo was quick, and she was soon out of breath and flushed. She clapped and laughed and grinned until her face hurt. Two dances later, she turned to find Hermes bowing behind her.
"My lady," he said.
"It's Persephone, Hermes," she said, taking his hand. The music was different now, coasting into a charming, slow melody.
"You look almost as amazing as me," he said smugly as they moved about the room.
"What a thoughtful compliment," she teased. The god grinned and then leaned in.
"I can't tell if it's the dress or all the sex you've been having with the god of this realm."
Persephone blushed. "Not funny, Hermes." He lifted a brow.
"Isn't it?
How do you even know?"
"Well, it's rumored he carried you through the palace to his bed."
She blushed fiercely. She would never forgive Hades for that.
"I see it's true."
Persephone rolled her eyes, but didn't deny it.
"So, tell me, how was it?"
"I'm not going to talk to you about it, Hermes."
"I bet he's rough," Hermes mused.
Persephone looked away, both to hide her blush and her laugh. "You're impossible," Hermes chuckled.
"But truly, love looks good on you."
"Love?" She almost choked.
"Oh dear, you haven't realized it yet, have you?"
"Realized what?"
"That you're in love with Hades."
"I'm not."
"Or two," he said. "And he loves you."
"I almost preferred your questions about my sex life," she muttered. Hermes laughed.
You walked into this room like you were his queen. You think he would let just anyone do that?
She honestly didn't know.
I think the Lord of the Underworld has found his bride.
She wanted to argue that Hades hadn't found her, he'd captured her. But instead of saying that, she raised her brow at the god of trickery. Hermes, are you drunk?
A little, he admitted sheepishly.
Persephone laughed, but his words worked into her mind. Did she love Hades? She had only let herself think of it briefly after their first night together, and then crushed those thoughts altogether. As Hermes spun her, she glanced around, searching the crowd for Hades. She hadn't seen him since they had come down the stairs together, and she'd immediately been surrounded by souls. She spotted him sitting in a dark throne. He was reclined, a hand raised to his lips, staring at her. Thanatos stood on one side, dressed in black, his wings folded neatly like a cape. Minthy loomed on the other, looking radiant in shimmery black. They were like an angel and a devil on the shoulders of the god of the dead. Persephone looked away quickly, but Hermes seemed to notice she was distracted and stopped dancing.
It's all right, Zephy,
he released her.
Go to him.
Persephone hesitated. It's okay.
Claim him, Persephone.
She smiled at Hermes, and the crowd parted as she made her way to Hades. He watched her, and she couldn't quite place the look on his face, but something inside her was drawn to him. As she neared, his hand fell, resting on the arm of his throne. She bowed low, then rose. My lord, will you dance? Hades' eyes were alight, and his lips twitched. He stood, a towering and commanding figure, and took her hand, leading her to the floor. The souls made room, packing in against the walls to give them space and to watch. Hades drew her against him, his hand firm on her back, the other laced between her fingers. She had been closer to him than this, but there was something about the way he held her now before all of his subjects that made her skin burn. The air grew thick and charged between them. They didn't speak for a long moment, just looked at one another. Are you displeased? She asked after some time.
Am I displeased that you have danced with Charon and Hermes? He asked.
Is that what she was asking? She stared at him, and he leaned forward, pressing his lips against her ear.
I am displeased that I am not inside you.
She tried not to smile. My lord, why didn't you say so? His eyes darkened.
Careful, goddess. I have no qualms taking you before my whole realm.
You wouldn't. His look challenged.
Dare me.
She didn't. They glided across the floor in silence for a little while longer before Hades pulled her off the floor and up the stairs. Behind them, the crowd clapped and whistled. Where are we going? She asked.
To remedy my displeasure, he replied.
Once they left the ballroom, he led her outside onto a balcony at the end of the hall. It was a large space, and Persephone became distracted by the view it offered, an underworld cloaked in darkness, ignited by glimmering starlight. She marveled at the craftsmanship, the attention to detail. This was Hades' magic. But when she started to walk ahead of Hades, he pulled her back to him. His eyes were dark, communicating his need. Why did you ask me to drop my glamour? She asked. Hades brushed a stray piece of hair behind her ear.
I told you, you will not hide here. You needed to understand what it is to be a god.
I'm not like you, she said. His hands trailed up her arms, and he smiled.
No, we have only two things in common.
She raised a brow. And those are?
We are both divine,
he said, inching closer.
And the space we share.
He lifted her into his arms, and her back met the wall. Hades' hands were almost desperate, drawing up her dress and parting robes. He sank deep inside her without warning, and they both groaned. His forehead rested against hers, and she inhaled a shaky breath. Is this what it's like to be a god? Hades pulled back to meet her gaze.
This is what it is like to have my favor, he answered,
and moved, sliding in and out, invading her in the most delicious way. Their gazes held, and their breaths became heavier, faster. Persephone's head fell back. The stone bit into her scalp and back, but she didn't care. Each thrust touched something deep inside her, building sensation after sensation.
You are perfect,
he said, fingers twisting into her hair. He cupped the back of her head, his thrusts taunted as he slowed, moving at a pace that ensured she could feel every part of him.
You are beautiful. I have never wanted like I want with you.
His admission came with a kiss, and then Hades pumped in and out of her harder than ever, and her body devoured him. They came together, their cries smothered by their clasped lips. Hades withdrew carefully, holding her against him until her legs stopped shaking. Then sky ignited behind them, and Hades drew her to the edge of the balcony.
Watch,
he said. On the dark horizon, fire shot into the sky, disappearing into a trail of glimmering sparks.
The souls are returning to the mortal world, Hades said. This is reincarnation.
Persephone watched in awe as more and more souls rose into the sky, leaving trails of fire in their wake. It's beautiful, she said. It was magic. Below, the residents of the underworld had gathered in the stone courtyard, and when the final souls rose into the air, they broke into applause, music began again, and the merriment continued. Persephone found herself smiling, and when she looked at Hades, he was staring at her. What? She asked.
Let me worship you, he said.
She remembered the words she had spoken to him in the back of the limo after La Rose. You will worship me, and I won't even have to order you. His request felt sinful and devious, and she reveled in it. She answered, yes. Chapter 23, A Touch of Normal. Persephone was looking forward to a date with Hades. It had been a few weeks since the Ascension Ball, and she had spent a lot of time with him. He'd started seeking her out while she was in the underworld, asking her to go for walks or play a game of her choosing. She'd begun making requests of him, too. He'd played with the children in the underworld, added a new play area for them, and hosted a few dinners for the souls and his staff. It was during these moments that her connection to him grew, and she found she felt far more passion for him than she ever had before. It manifested when they came together late at night, making love as if they'd never see one another again. Everything felt so desperate, and Persephone realized it was because neither of them were using words to communicate how they felt. And she felt like she was falling. One evening, after a particularly intense game of strip poker, they lay in bed, Persephone's head on Hades' chest while he brushed his fingers absently through her hair.
Allow me to take you to dinner.
Her gaze snapped to his. Dinner? Like, out in public? Her stomach clenched at the thought, worried about the media attention. Since Hades had announced the Halcyon Project, more articles about her were appearing in magazines across New Greece. The Corinth Chronicle, the Ithaca Inquirer. The ones that made her the most anxious were those that tried to research her background. Right now, they'd found enough to satisfy them, writing things like she'd been homeschooled until 18, at which point she came to New Athens University from Olympia. Majoring in journalism, she found an internship with New Athens News and began her relationship with Hades after an interview. It was just a matter of time before they wanted more. She should know. She was a journalist.
Not in public, exactly,
he said.
But I do want to take you to a public restaurant.
She hesitated, and Hades gave her a meaningful look.
I would keep you safe.
She knew that was true, and this god had managed to avoid the media for a very long time, though she knew that was due in part to his power of invisibility and the fear he struck in mortals. Okay, she smiled. Despite her reservations, it was terribly romantic that Hades wanted to do something so simple, like take her to dinner. Since that night, everything had been hectic. School was busy, work was stressful, and she'd been accosted by strangers in person and via email. People stopped and questioned her about her relationship with Hades on the bus, during walks, and while writing at the coffee house. Some journalists emailed to ask if they could interview her for their newspapers. Others offered jobs. She had gotten into a habit of checking her inbox once a day and mass deleting the majority of the emails she received without reading them. But this time when she logged in, she noticed a disturbing subject line. I know you're fucking him. Journalists were a little more professional than that. Dread pooled in her stomach as she clicked on the email and found a string of photos. They were images of her with Hades, all taken in the underworld while they were on the balcony during the Ascension Ball. The email concluded with, I want my job back, or I'll release these to the media. The email was from Adonis. She pulled out her phone to call him. She hadn't deleted his number yet, and she figured this was the best way to reach him. She could tell he picked up the phone, but he didn't offer a greeting, just waited for her to speak. What the hell, Adonis? She demanded. Where did you get the photos?
I'm sure you'd like to know.
Hades will crush you.
He can try, but then he probably doesn't want to face Aphrodite's wrath.
You're a bastard.
You have 3 weeks,
he said. How am I supposed to get your job back for you? She snapped.
You'll think of something. You did get me fired.
You got yourself fired, Adonis, she hissed. You shouldn't have stolen my article.
I made you famous,
he argued. You didn't make me anything but a victim, and I'm not interested in continuing that trend. There was a long pause on the other side before Adonis spoke again.
Time is running out, Persephone.
He hung up, and she put the phone down, thoughts racing. The easiest thing to do was to ask Dimitri if he'd consider hiring Adonis back, so she rose from her seat and knocked on his door. Do you have a moment? Her boss looked up from his computer, glasses reflecting his blue shirt and yellow tie, making eye contact almost impossible.
Yes, come in.
Persephone only took a few steps into the room. What are the chances Adonis could come back?
He was dishonest, Persephone. I have no interest in employing him again.
When she nodded, he asked,
Why?
Just feeling a little bad for him is all, she managed, though the words tasted like blood in her mouth. Dimitri took his glasses off. She could now see his eyes, full of concern and a little suspicious.
Is everything all right?
She nodded. Yes, yeah, excuse me. She exited Dimitri's office, packed her things, and left. The images in her email were damning, and if released to the public, they would prove everything in the gossip magazines true. Well, not everything. Persephone really couldn't say that she and Hades were dating. As before, she was hesitant to assign any label to their current status, given their contract. Not to mention the fact that if those photos were released, her mother would see them, and that would mean the end of her time in New Athens. She wouldn't even have to worry about the media storm that would ensue as a result, because she wouldn't be here for it. Demeter would lock her back up forever. Even while Persephone got ready for her date, something that should have been enjoyable, her mind was on Adonis's threat. She considered how she should handle the situation. She could tell Hades, and everything would be over as quickly as it began, but she didn't want the god of the dead fighting her battles for her. She wanted to solve this problem herself. She decided Hades would be the last resort, a card she would pull if she couldn't find a solution. She must have looked troubled when Hades arrived to pick her up, because the god of the underworld asked as she approached his limo,
"Is everything okay?"
"Yes," she managed in her cheeriest voice possible. He had been asking that a lot, and she wondered if he was paranoid. "It was just a busy day." He smiled.
"Then let's get you off your feet."
He helped her into the limo and followed close behind. Antony was in the driver's seat.
"My lady?"
He bowed his head. "It is good to see you, Antony." The Cyclops smiled.
"Just press the comm if you need anything."
Then he rolled up a tinted window that kept his cabin separate from theirs. She and Hades sat side by side, close enough that their arms and legs touched. The friction ignited a fever beneath her skin. Suddenly, she couldn't get comfortable and shifted, crossing and uncrossing her legs. It drew Hades' attention, and after a moment, he placed a hand on her thigh. She wasn't sure what possessed her to say it. Maybe it was the stress of the day or the tension in the cabin, but right now, all she wanted was to lose herself in him. "I want to worship you." The words were quiet and casual, as if she had just asked him how his day went or commented on the weather. She felt his eyes on her and slowly peeked up at him. His gaze had darkened.
"And how would you worship me, goddess?"
His voice was deep and controlled. She tried to repress a smile and kneeled to the floorboard in front of him, wedging herself between his legs. "Shall I show you?" His throat worked, and he managed in a husky tone,
"A demonstration would be appreciated."
Her hands moved to the button of his trousers, where she freed his sex and clasped it in her hand. It was soft but hard, and she met Hades' gaze as she stroked him once. His hands became fists on his thighs, and when she tasted him, he groaned and rolled his head back. Then the car came to a stop.
"Fuck,"
he said, and reached for the intercom button. Persephone continued to take him deep into the back of her throat, licking and sucking him. When Hades spoke, he was breathless.
"Antony, drive until I say otherwise."
"Yes, sir."
He hissed, inhaling breath between his teeth. His fingers dug into her scalp, loosening her braid as she worked him with her hand and moved her tongue and teeth over the head of his cock. He tasted like salt and darkness, and he grew harder and heavier in her mouth. She knew when she had driven him into mindlessness because he ground out her name and started thrusting into her mouth. She braced herself against the seat of the limo, unable to breathe, only able to take. He hit the back of her throat over and over until he came with her name on his lips. Persephone took all of him, licking him clean. When she finished, Hades reached for her, dragging her up for a hard kiss before tearing away to growl,
"I want you."
She tilted her head, questioning, "How do you want me?" He answered without so much as a second thought.
"To start, I'll take you from behind on your hands and knees."
"And then?"
"I'll pull you on top and teach you how to ride me until you come apart."
I like that one. She lifted herself, and Hades helped her sit on his shaft. She groaned as he filled her, and Hades' hands spanned her waist, helping her establish a rhythm until she moved of her own accord, using him for her pleasure. Her arms went around his neck, and she held him close. She bit his ear, and when he groaned, she whispered, "Tell me how I feel."
"Like life," he answered.
His hands moved between them, and he worked her, building the tension, until she could no longer stand it. Her labored breathing gave way to a cry of ecstasy, and she collapsed against him, her face burrowed into the crook of his neck. She didn't know how long he held her like that, but at some point, Persephone slid from his lap, and Hades restored his appearance before letting Antony know they were ready to arrive at their destination. Antony entered a garage and parked near an elevator, where Hades helped Persephone out of the limo. Once inside, he took out a key card and scanned it, punching the button for floor 14. "Where are we?" she asked.
"The Grove," Hades replied. "My restaurant."
"You own the Grove?" He was a favorite among the mortals of New Athens because of its unique decor and cozy, garden-inspired dining. How does no one know?
I let Ilias run it, he said, and prefer that people think he owns it.
The elevator opened to the roof, and Persephone gasped at what she saw. The rooftop of the grove looked like a forest in the underworld. A stone path wound through beds of flowers and trees strung with lights. Hades led her down the path, which opened onto an open space with a table and two plush chairs. The lights in the trees crisscrossed overhead.
This is beautiful, Hades.
He smiled and led her to the table, where a collection of breads and a bottle of wine waited. Hades poured them each a glass and toasted their evening. She found herself laughing more than she ever remembered, the burden of her day long forgotten as Hades told her stories of ancient Greece. When they finished eating, they walked through the forest on the roof, and Persephone asked, "What do you do for fun?" It seemed like a silly question, but she was curious. Over the months, she gathered that Hades liked cards, walks, and playing with his animals, but she wondered what else.
"What do you mean?"
She laughed. "The fact that you just asked that says everything. What are your hobbies?"
"Cards? Writing?"
He swirled his hand in the air, thinking.
"Drinking?"
"What about things not related to being the god of the dead?"
"Drinking is not related to being god of the dead."
"It also isn't a hobby, unless you're an alcoholic." Hades raised a brow.
"Then what are your hobbies?"
Persephone smiled. And though she knew he was avoiding talking about himself, she answered, "Baking."
"Baking? I feel like I should have known about this sooner."
"Well, you never asked." Silence fell between them, and they walked a little further before Hades came to a stop. Persephone turned to look at him when he said,
"Teach me."
She stared at him for a moment, stunned. "What?"
"Teach me,"
he said.
"To bake something."
She couldn't help but laugh, and he raised a brow, clearly not amused. "I'm sorry, I'm just imagining you in my kitchen."
"And that's difficult?"
"Well, yeah, you're the god of the underworld."
"And you're the goddess of spring," he said. "You stand in your kitchen and make cookies. Why can't I?"
She couldn't take her eyes off him. It wasn't until now that she realized something had changed between them. It had been happening gradually, but today it hit her hard. She was in love with him. She hadn't realized she was frowning until he touched her face, brushing her cheek with his finger.
"Are you well?"
She smiled. "Very well." She stood on the tips of her toes and pressed a kiss to his mouth, pulling away. "I'll teach you." Hades smiled too.
"Well then, let's get started."
"Wait, you want to learn now?"
"Now is as good a time as any,"
he said. She opened her mouth to argue that she didn't have the right supplies to do this in the underworld, when Hades said,
"I thought maybe we could spend time at your apartment."
She stared at him, and he shrugged.
"You're always in the underworld."
"You want to spend time in the upper world? In my apartment?" He just stared at her. He'd already told her exactly what he wanted to do. "I have to prepare Alexa for your arrival." He nodded.
"Fair enough. I'll have Antony drop you off."
He looked down at his suit.
"I need to change."
Persephone had no difficulty convincing Lexa to have Hades over for an evening of food, baking, and movies. In fact, she screamed when Persephone brought it up, which summoned Jason from her room armed with a lamp, his blue-gray eyes wide and his dark brown curls wild. He looked ready for a fight, and when the girls saw him, they laughed. Jason lowered the lamp.
"I heard someone scream."
"And you were going to save me with a lamp?" Lexa asked.
"It was the heaviest thing I could find," he said defensively.
They laughed again, and Persephone explained why Lexa was screaming. Jason rubbed the back of his neck.
"Wow, Hades, huh?
Yes, Hades! Lexa reached for Jason's hand. Come on, we have to clean the living room. He's going to think we're peasants. Persephone smiled as the two disappeared into the adjoining room, Jason still in possession of the lamp. They cleaned, and just as she finished putting on her pajamas, the doorbell rang. Despite all the time she'd spent with Hades, her heart still hammered in her chest as she went to answer the door. Hades stood on their porch in a black shirt that fit his muscles like a dream and loose sweatpants. Persephone was shocked by his appearance. The manicured god could dress down and he was still magnificent. Did you own those before today? She asked, pointing to the pants. Hades looked down at them, grinning.
No.
She let him in, feeling slightly embarrassed. This apartment was way too small for him. He was nearly as wide as the doorway, and he had to duck to enter. Persephone frowned.
What?
He asked. Nothing, she said quickly, and moved around him. She brought him into the living room, where Lexa and Jason had finished cleaning and now lounged on the couch. Hades, this is Lexa, my best friend, and Jason, her boyfriend. Jason waved from the couch, but Lexa got to her feet and hugged Hades around the middle. Persephone's brows rose. She was impressed with Lexa's fearlessness. And by Hades' reaction, he didn't seem surprised at all and returned Lexa's hug. It's nice to meet you, she said.
Very few have ever spoken those words, he told her.
Lexa pulled away and grinned.
So long as you treat my best friend right, I'll continue to be happy to see you.
Hades' lips curled.
Noted, Lexa Sidaris, he said, and gave a little bow. May I say it is a pleasure to meet you.
Lexa blushed. Damn, the Lord of the Underworld was charming. Persephone took Hades into her kitchen. It was small for her and Lexa, even tinier with him. His head practically touched the ceiling, but his height came in handy, as much of what Persephone needed was on the top shelf in her cabinets.
Why do you put everything up so high?
He asked as he helped retrieve her supplies. It's the only place it will fit. In case you haven't noticed, I don't live in a palace. He gave her a look as if to say, I could change that. When everything was on the counter, Hades turned to look at her.
What would you do without me?
Get it myself, she said simply. Hades snorted. She turned to face him and found he was leaning against the counter, arms crossed over his chest. He was absolutely breathtaking, and she wanted to laugh because he was standing in her ugly kitchen making cookies. Well, get over here. You can't learn from there. Hades raised a brow, smirking, and approached. She hadn't expected him to stand so close, but he came up behind her, cradling her body with his, hands braced on either side of her. His mouth touched her ear, warm and honeyed.
Please instruct.
She took a breath and cleared her throat. The most important thing to remember when baking is that the ingredients have to be measured and mixed right, or it could mean disaster. His lips brushed along her neck and then her shoulder. Her breath caught, and then she added, "Scratch that. The most important thing to remember is to pay attention." She glared at him over her shoulder while he tried to look innocent and handed him the measuring cup. First, flour, she said. Hades took the cup and measured out the required amount of flour. He kept his arms around her, working almost as if she weren't there, except she knew he was aware of her because she could feel his body hardening against hers.
Next.
Concentrate, she commanded herself. Baking soda. He continued like that until all the ingredients were in the bowl and mixed. Persephone took that opportunity to duck under his arm, reaching for a cookie sheet and a spoon. She instructed Hades to form the dough into balls no more than an inch in diameter and place them on the sheet. Once the cookies were in the oven, Hades turned to her expectantly, but she was already prepared for him. We make icing. She rubbed her hands together. This was the best part. Hades raised a brow, clearly amused. Persephone began to instruct again, handing Hades a whisk.
What am I supposed to do with this?
You'll beat the ingredients together, she said,
pouring powdered sugar, vanilla, and corn syrup into a bowl. She pushed it toward him. Beat. He smirked.
Happily.
When the icing was made, they divided it into separate bowls and mixed food coloring into it. Persephone was not the cleanest baker, and by the time they finished incorporating all the colors, her fingers were covered in icing. Hades reached for her hand.
How does it taste? He asked,
and drew her fingers deep into his mouth, sucking them clean. He groaned.
Delicious.
She flushed and drew her hand away. There was a long pause, and Hades asked,
Now what?
Their eyes met. Hades took two steps, planted his hands on her waist, and lifted her onto the counter. She yelped and then laughed, drawing him close as she wrapped her legs around his waist. He kissed her hungrily, tilting her head back so he could reach deep into her mouth. But it was short-lived because Lexa came into the kitchen and cleared her throat. Persephone broke the kiss while Hades' head fell into the crook of her neck. Lexa, Persephone cleared her throat. What's up?
I was wondering if you guys wanted to watch a movie?
Say no,
Hades whispered against her ear. Persephone laughed and asked, What movie?
Clash of the Titans?
Hades snorted and drew away from her, looking at Lexa.
Old or new?
Old.
He considered, tilting his head.
Fine.
And then he kissed Persephone on the cheek.
Going to need a minute.
He left the kitchen, and Persephone stayed seated on the counter, kicking her legs back and forth.